¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes. Get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine.
And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 151, man. As usual, it's your host, Scott and Dante. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BarberChairScott, at OctoberZonte. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/BarberChairNetwork. And if I were y'all, I'd sign up for that $10 Barber's Chair Network All Access Package, because starting next week, you're going to be able to see us, as we're going to be doing video for this pod, which will be available only on the Patreon. The audio will still be free, so if you don't want to pay the $5 and you just want to hear the audio will still be free. But if you want to see the video too, that will be on the Patreon for $10 subscribers. We're going to be doing this with all pods on the network, so look out for that. And we're going to be doing a special 79th and Hallis package that, check out the Twitter. I'm going to make an announcement about that. We got some exclusive off-season content coming for y'all, man. But we are back. We took a break last week because we didn't want to do a show right before a trade deadline, and we talking about some shit that might not even happen. So we back recapping, man. I feel like the day after the Super Bowl kind of feels like everybody tired. Like, everybody tired. It should be a national holiday. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, but just before we get into basketball, what'd you think of the Super Bowl, man? What'd you think about the whole thing?
It was a good game. I mean, the first half was really good. It got good at the end in the fourth quarter, which is what you really want. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to blow out. Unfortunately, my dog Odell got hurt. It was
towards ACL.
Like, that's another notch in the campaign to really ban field turf. Like, they got enough money to get grass in there and keep it up. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
And like, Reggie Bush has been really big on this for years. And like, I think Debo Samuels, he tweeted it out. He was like, "Yo, field turf sucks. Like, we need to ban it. Like, this shit is not good." And so, you know, non-contact is always never good. You know, and bro caught a touchdown in the first quarter, kicked the game
walked
off
on niggas,
bro. He was about to go crazy. He had like,
it'd have been a blowout if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I truly believe if he didn't get hurt, they light their ass up that whole game.
Yeah,
and so, but it was a good game. You know, Eli Apple, to see all of fucking NFL Twitter unite like Voltron. Wow. To destroy this nigga was hilarious.
I mean, he deserved it, bro. He was talking a lot.
He was talking
of shit.
Crazy. He was talking crazy.
He's talking a lot of shit to be mid, and he got cooked. What'd you think of the halftime show?
One of the best ones ever. I won't go like everybody else and put it number one. I think that's more that prisoner of the moment shit we do. But to see, it's always a pleasure to see hip hop on display like that, and then to have our legends up there. Even Eminem, I consider him one of our legends because he is a hip-hop, you know, hip-hop artist.
Yeah, Black Twitter got to stop lying about Eminem.
Yeah, like, yeah. You could say, you know, some of his music, it hasn't aged well, you know, the content-wise. But other than to deny him as a legend is ridiculous. Like, yeah. That's just dumb. But, that was good to see. You know, the NFL told him not to kneel. He did it anyway. They told Dre not to say Sam still don't fuck with the police. He said
he
that
did
anyway.
Anyway. Yeah, so. Like, nigga, I paid niggas for it.
Yeah, so fuck it. Yeah. It was dope, G.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it.
Shout out to my
time.
Nigga 50.
Shout out to 50, Cannon Stark. One thing I do love about 50, 50 will make fun of everybody. The niggas make fun of him. Yes, they call him fat, and he's make fun of himself. So. You know what I'm saying? If you being on a joke, but yesterday was the first time I felt like a Super Bowl. Like, this whole week in LA, it's felt like Super Bowl. It's a different thing when the Super Bowl is in your city. Of course, you know, from the Super Bowl was in Atlanta, went to the Super Bowl. It's a different thing when Super Bowl is in your city. You can feel it. Like, you know, everybody was here. Like, this morning when I went on my walk to walk all this tequila off that I had last night, when I went on a walk, nigga, that was the emptiest I've seen the streets in like a week, bro. Like, it's been like packed to the brim the last week, and it really felt like, okay, the Super Bowl is here. And because last year, even though there was fans in the crowd, like, you know, Super Bowl, Bryce Gale was like, fuck y'all, we finna pack out this damn crowd. So even though Raymond James Stadium was filled to the brim, it didn't feel like the Super Bowl. And I say that because you know, we didn't have a vaccine yet, so it was still a lot of questions about that. Still, some people were still on quarantine. They weren't doing in-person interviews. There really wasn't a media day. It wasn't none of these broadcasts, like all these shows on site or none of that. So it really didn't feel like the Super Bowl. So this felt like Super Bowl, first time in 2 years. Watched it with the homie. Watched the homie Damien. We watched it in Long Beach, man. They had a nice little Super Bowl party out there. Made the trek to Long Beach, man, and had a good time. But I'm gonna tell you why I do have this halftime show is my number one. This is why I personally have it. And I think the ones that everybody talks about the most outside of this one, because I think we're gonna be talking about this for a long time, is obviously Beyonce, obviously Michael Jackson, and obviously Prince. Now, if there's any women podcasts who listen to this show, I apologize for what I'm about to say. Now, granted, I've seen Beyonce live, and Beyonce was probably the best performer I've seen live. Like, she's great.
I can believe that.
She's like, I'm a diehard Jay-Z fan, and I wanted Jay to get the fuck off the stage when I was like, that's how.
Yeah, they energies don't match up stage wise. Like, they don't. I love Hope, but like his concerts and the Beyonce concert, I'm sure nigga apples and oranges. Like
Hove has a presence. Like, yeah. Kanye's a better performer. Kendrick's a better performer. Hove is just Hove, so it's like you're just in awe of him being on the stage.
You rapping along, nigga. Like,
right, exactly.
It's really a sing along at Hove concerts.
Beyonce shut it down, nigga. I was in awe, and I was like, I was up close. As close as I've ever been to the concert, I enjoyed it. With that being said, I just didn't care enough about her Super Bowl performance. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't listen to her music in my free time, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Prince, I'm not the biggest fan. I feel like Prince is like Tupac and Biggie, Drake and Kendrick. It depends on what household you grew up in.
Yeah.
I believe. Real. I respect Prince. I think Prince is one of the GOATs. I grew up in a Michael Jackson house.
Yeah,
I grew up in Michael Jackson's house, so I really didn't hear none of Prince music till I got older. And also, I don't remember Prince's halftime show because for us Bears fans, the Bears were losing the halftime. So I was in a freezing cold trying to walk off my nervousness and trying to figure out how ways we could come back. So I don't even think I saw the show till like 2-3 years later.
No, I remember the Prince joint, and like the reason I have it, it's probably like number two for me. Like, I feel you on the Beyonce shit, because Beyonce, and we know Beyonce did too. She had
yeah, one, she did too. Yeah.
She had one by herself, where, you know, she brought out Destiny Child, so that's definitely up there.
Yeah, and the one with Bruno. Play.
Yeah, so that one was decent. But no, the reason the Prince shit was fire, G, and everybody calls always says it's the best of all time, is because when bro started playing Purple Rain
it
started raining. Like, to see that live, because like you said, I grew up in a Stevie Wonder household. So I was with Stevie.
I did at the too, same Stevie Wonder's my blood cousin. Nobody believes me, and I've told the story many times. But we grew up in the Stevie house too, obviously.
Like, yes, no, I'm saying Stevie Wonder is the greatest, like one of the greatest living Americans of all time. That's a completely different podcast. But no, like that Prince performing Purple Rain in the rain, one of the greatest guitarists of all time.
Yeah,
sitting there going crazy, like if not the greatest, that shit is definitely up there. But no, this one was special. But why you got it at number one, G?
So this is why. So my previous number one before yesterday was Michael Jackson.
Okay.
Just because Mike
I don't
is just
remember that shit.
Nigga, I remember when it happened. I was five, but like just watching it. Yeah, I was five. So I don't remember when it happened, obviously, but like just watching it later. But just the stage presence he had, and Mike has hits for days, and he just really ran through them and all that. It was great. I feel like he's the greatest entertainer ever. Like, we could talk about artists, but that's a different discussion. We talking about straight up entertainment. I don't think there's anybody touching Michael Jackson. I mean, the nigga stood on the stage in the middle of Rose Bowl for 2 minutes and niggas was crying before he even broke out the first words to Jam. Niggas was up there crying.
Insane.
So it was insane. So that would be my number one. That was my number one at the time. But the reason I got this over, number one, this is our era. You know what I'm saying? These are artists that we grew up on. These are artists that we came up on. Now, of course, Dre and Snoop originally came out when we were 4 or 5 years old. But we still grew up with, like, I remember where I was when Chronic 01 dropped. I remember where I was when these certain music dropped. And, of course, 50. We grew up on 50. Everybody. Mary J. Blige is in my top five singers. I love Mary J. Blige. Music.
Living legend. Hip-hop legend.
Living legend. We can sit up here and talk shit about Eminem. 99 to 2002, that nigga was untouchable. And I be seeing a lot of niggas. I ain't never heard niggas play Eminem in the hood. Nigga, the first time I found out about Eminem was in the hood. in the late 90s and early 2000s. So you know, we can talk about whatever his three albums. That was great to see him up there and to see Snoop and Dre, like, and then Kendrick. I mean, Kendrick, if you haven't seen Kendrick Lamar live, dog, I advise you.
I still haven't seen K-Dot live yet.
You got us. I was privileged enough to see K-Dot, Snoop, and Ice Cube on the same night.
Oh, shit.
BET Award, was it 2016? I think it was 2016.
Okay.
And so he is phenomenal, and he, to me, stood out of all of them. But Dre and Snoop, for it to be in L.A., and it was like a combination of everything Los Angeles, all everything L.A. hip-hop. Like, even look at the setup. Nigga, they had a Tam's Burgers.
That was fire. G. That was fire. The Tam's, like, the little subtle shit like that.
The little
that,
subtle
when
shit.
When people be like, well, you know, why is this such a big deal? Because you got to think, as much as people try to shit on hip-hop culture and black culture in general, like, our culture is American culture.
Oh, for sure, 100%.
Finally on display like that.
Yeah.
Like, big and bold. Like you said, they got the lowriders.
The lowriders.
Snoop crip walking, throwing up
they
the
had a synchronized crip walk at the 50-yard line on NBC. Like, damn, it was like Hamilton for Crips. Like, that shit was just fucking amazing. And so, like, and for people who not from L.A. or live in L.A. or spending great time in L.A., putting Tam's Burgers on the stage is the equivalent of, like, putting Harold's.
Yeah, exactly.
From Chicago, that's like putting Harold's Chicken on, like, a stage. Staple. It's a hood staple. Nigga, I almost got robbed in Tam's Burger, nigga. Like,
I got banged on across the street from the Tam's.
Nigga, right on Crenshaw. I think it was on Crenshaw and King, that Tam's Burger over there.
I was on the Tams on off Fig and Man.
Woo, oh, boy, nigga, you might be the worst one. Any if nigga, if you want Manchester and anything in Los Angeles, nigga, leave. Leave, nigga. So to have that, so everything, I think it was just about like in the subtle, the Tupac tributes and that nigga when Drake played, I ain't mad at you. That was dope. So I think just maybe because it's our generation, I grew up on it and I have more of attachment to these artists. And the performance was incredible too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can sit up here and talk about Prince and Michael Jackson, but those are our parents' artists too. So it's like, I didn't, like, even though I grew up with Michael Jackson, I didn't grow up with Michael Jackson, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, like, I know exactly what you mean.
These, I remember where I was at when In the Club dropped. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I seen people like, why is 50 hanging from the fucking wall? Like, this is what I'm saying. We losing recipes. This was that, in the was Club the, video.
When the disconnect starts to show, it's like, right. come on, bro. Like, right. You niggas ain't seen the video.
Yeah, like Mad City, he did Mad City, bro. Mad City's gonna be 10 years old this year. Like, this is our shit, man. So that's why I was
in Inglewood.
In
Inglewood, G. So, like, you know, to have those artists from LA in a home, that's why one of the best parts of the halftime show was that opening shot when Snoop just standing there smiling.
Yeah, because you know,
like, you know, he was feeling it, G. Yeah. Like, yeah, this just was a blunt. Great nigga had just put the blunt out. Like, he was feeling it.
This is a great week for Snoop. He bought Death Row, new album came out, and Snoop is in my top five. Snoop is in my top five of niggas who I don't care how long they've been in the game. I will, if they put out an album out, I'll listen to it. So to see Snoop up there, to see, you know, to me, Dre is the best hip hop producer. We can have that debate later too, but see it all come together. It was awesome. It was just a great weekend for LA and LA culture, and to culminate with the Rams winning the championship. I'm happy for Odell. Happy for Von. I'm not the biggest Stafford fan, but I'm not gonna lie. I'm happy for Stafford.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He ain't a Hall of Famer, but
no, he's definitely not a Hall of Famer. Like you said, he'll be Rams and Lions Ring of Honor if the Lions even have such a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, and overall game, it was entertaining mid. Like, it wasn't a great game, but it was entertaining, you know. But you know, it was a good weekend, man. And so now we switch our attention to the only show in town right now, which is the National Basketball Association. NFL's done. And we don't know when the fuck we get in baseball. fuck Rob Manfred. Usually around this time, I'll be like, okay, all I got to do is watch the NBA for about a month. And then all White Sox are back. And by the way, I'm going to keep telling y'all, we got a White Sox podcast coming. Me,
Eventually.
Me, Dante, the homie Mikey. We got a pod coming for y'all. The minute that the lockout is over, we are recording. So it is coming to y'all, man. But let's start with the NBA. There was a lot of NBA stars in the building at the Super Bowl last night. And there was $1.5 million suites. If you think I'm lying, look it up. That's how much they cost us so far, $1.5 million. But LeBron James can shit $1.5 million.
Yeah, you know, he was in a
he was in that vibe.
He was in the Roc Nation joint with Hov.
Yeah.
Like, they suite was crazy. It was like him, obviously Hov and Beyonce, Ty, the whole
Steve Stout,
the whole gang, Biggs, you know. It was
What's my man Daniel Kaluuya? He was in there.
Yeah, Kaluuya was in there.
My man Damson, Franklin Saint.
The nigga that Denzel keep pretending he don't know.
Right.
He was there.
Right. Denzel know who the, you know what? Denzel might actually know. He an old nigga though.
Yeah, he might not.
He might legit not know this nigga.
Hey, who is this nigga?
Right.
They keep asking me about this nigga. Like, what's the joke?
Like, who is this motherfucker? They had like a bit, like everybody had their shit. Like, fucking, they showed. Yesterday was like a celebrity overload.
Yeah.
Like, all them niggas were there. And it just made me like, I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be there soon.
And you know, it wouldn't be LA without, you know, a rapper getting shot. Kodak Black got popped outside of the Justin. The whole headline sound crazy. Kodak Black
out of a Justin Bieber
after party.
Like, I think niggas was looking for him after them comments he made about Nipsey. That's my theory.
Yeah.
That's my theory. I don't know.
They say it was a brawl that broke out. Like, I saw the video.
Maybe.
Like a random fight broke out. But Buddy, like you said, Buddy runs past in all black.
Yeah.
And just start firing at the That's a nigga, so who knows?
Who knows, man? But
I stay out of LA business. I don't live there, and I don't hey, man. Name.
I respect LA business. You have to, in order to live here, you have to respect it. Like, it's,
exactly.
Like, as soon as I got down, my LA homie, shout out my nigga Darius, shout out my nigga Qualms. They was like, yo, this is the land of land.
Yeah.
We're out the bam. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. I know my shit. Yesterday, when I went to Damien's house, right? He live in Long Beach. It's Crip Central over there. I was gonna wear my White Sox jersey. I was like, nah, I gotta run by the liquor store. I'm not finna get caught up.
Yeah.
Let me throw this band jacket on.
You really gotta reassess your wardrobe
right.
when you kicking it in LA.
You don't want nowhere. Hey, cuz, I'm like, niggas, 80 degrees.
Hey,
I just wanna watch the game, bro.
Hey, honey, where you from?
But LeBron had a good night yesterday. I saw a lot of people was like, why the Lakers are nice. I'm like, y'all gotta understand this. I want some of y'all over fan niggas understand this.
Yeah.
These niggas are rich, okay? These niggas are rich. Not only is LeBron rich, I think LeBron has secured his legacy.
Yeah.
LeBron ain't got to do nothing. And even though they made up stats for this nigga over the weekend, and we'll get
that
to that
ridiculous.
In a minute.
Ridiculous.
Very nasty. He's a four-time champion. He's never going to be over Jordan.
Yeah.
Like this, he said himself, he's chasing ghosts. So he want this nigga on Super Bowl Sunday. Enjoy his rich lifestyle to be miserable. Come on, dog.
No, they want him in the gym putting shots up. Stupid shit. First of all, he's having one of his best career years ever.
Oh, he balling.
And two, like you said, G, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, if you have a bad day at work, nigga, you're not finna go home and do more work.
Thank
like,
you. I'm glad you said that.
You trying to get your mind off of that. Yeah. Like you said, I'm a borderline billionaire. I've accomplished everything. So, like, people have to get out of that fan mode. And I think obviously it's because, you know, we you know, cover sports, you know, professionally. Like, we've been in these arenas. We see what it is. And, you know, we understand the business side, or we at least take more of a look at the business side than the average fan. But, like, people got to put that fanatic
shit to
the side.
You get a greater appreciation for what you're, like, working for. And also, I got a greater appreciation for media members, too.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of fan bases think media are, like, biased, which is, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I used to think the same thing, too. When I started walking around the Bears, and certain writers who I thought were, like, biased, I'm like, this nigga's kind of cool. He's just doing his fucking job.
And that's why I had to chill, like, calling people dickheads and dumbasses on Twitter and shit. Because, like, one, you, like, when you actually meet these people, and it's like, damn, you kind of cool. Because, like, it's been several, like, you know, Braves writers or Falcons writers, people like, oh, he a fucking idiot and XYZ. And I'd be like, bro, he's actually cool as hell. Like,
gee.
And, like, he's actually a really cool person. So, no, I feel you on that 100%.
People, a lot of Bears fans don't like, what's my man's name? Dan Weeder. And I'm like, Dan cool with me. Like, I ain't never had a problem with that nigga, man.
People have to realize, G, like, at the end of the day, like, as, you know, as sports journalists, analysts, you know, everything we doing, content creators, we giving you our opinions. Like, people are giving you their opinions. So, like, like you said, at the end of the day, when people, like, get, like, physically upset, like, no, fuck you, you stupid. Even though some people do say dumb shit, like.
Yes, they do.
A lot of people. But also, you have to understand, at the same time, going back to it being a business, you have people that get off on the shock value. Like, they know you're going to react no matter what they say. Like, the Jason Whitlocks who going to say goofy shit. Because he knows it's an instant reaction. He's going to get a million views.
Yep.
Like, that's why every hot topic he attaches himself to it and says the exact opposite of what everybody else is saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, and people don't realize that. So, like, I was like, you guys just take a deep breath, my nigga. Relax.
Take a deep breath.
Relax.
Chill.
Just enjoy it. Your team
enjoy
moves.
It, bro.
It is what it is. It's frustrating. But, like I tell my homies all the time, like, whether we, you know, a pickup game of basketball or we talking about sports – nigga, we not getting a game check. Like, tone it down, bro. Like, don't ever get physically upset with them.
These niggas don't know you, bro. Like,
they do not know you.
Niggas do not know. Like, these niggas is having, like, people's like, well, even Aaron Rodgers. I can't believe I'm finna defend Aaron Rodgers. But it's like, why this nigga smiling? They lost the first round. Aaron Rodgers is rich and won his fourth MVP, and he's in LA and rich. Why would I be unhappy?
Dating the actress.
Why would I be unhappy? Like,
future in his own hands, like,
right? The niggas living the life. Let's just keep it a buck. The niggas living the life, bro. Like, so I don't understand that shit, man. But a lot of people was in the building. Steph Curry was there. I was like, did the Warriors fly to LA just for the game? And I forgot these niggas play the Clippers tonight. Okay. Completely forgot that I was going to the game. But so I'll be able to see Clay tonight for the first time. I'm hype about that. But let's talk about the trade deadline. Trade deadline is over, man. Probably one of the best days for the NBA. This one to me was a little mediocre. I don't know about how you feel about it, but there was a lot of hype coming to it, and we still got the trade everybody wanted with Harden and Simmons, which we'll get into a minute. But I don't know. It was like a lot of money being moved more than legit moves.
Yeah, and I think like this deadline was kind of like it reminded you of what the league is these days. Like, it's a lot of manufactured hype. As far as actual results, like even if it comes on the court, like a lot of the NBA gameplay we see today is really just off the hype, the storyline. We're gonna see what it is, but the actual basketball we watching, some of this shit really be terrible.
It's kind
of
bad, right?
It really be terrible. Like, it's not 2000 is bad.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying, it's a lot of talent, but the style of play is not there. And so even with the, like you said, with the deadline, you had a lot of, like, even with either moving money around or like moves that just on the surface look just ridiculous. Like with the Knicks trading for Cam Reddish, and you know Tibbs don't really play guys he don't fuck with like that. And now you have Cam has had like 4 DMPs. He was averaging like 26 minutes in Atlanta. He's averaging like 6 minutes in New York.
Fucking like Tibbs.
Silly shit like that. And so I agree with you. Just outside of the major trade that everybody expected and was like, well, let's just get it done. There wasn't too much to talk about. We got a couple.
What was one to you that kind of stood out the most? Like, besides the Ben Simmons joint, kind of stood out?
It was a sneaky good move to me, but really the Cavaliers getting Caris LeVert. Because they sitting at the 3 seed right now, and you get another proven bucket getter in there. And we talked about, you know, how reliant on defense they are and where they're going to get buckets from. And that's a guy, you know, we know he can get you 30, anywhere from 30 to 50. Like, obviously, you know, he's more than, I think I got to look up what he's averaging, but he can give you a dub on any given night, Caris, yeah. If given the shots. You combine him with the talent they have already. So I think that was a move that I really liked.
Yeah, I think that was a really good move, too. I think, you know, they needed a bucket getter like Caris. One move that I don't understand. I understand, but I don't understand. And that was the Sabonis Tyrese Halliburton trade. I don't understand it because I feel like Tyrese is, I don't know if he's not better yet, but I feel like he can be better than De'Aaron Fox. And so I don't understand giving him up to get a guy like Sabonis, who Sabonis is good, and I think he'll bring things to the Kings. But it's like, it's kind of like you're like making a push for the play-in. And I'm like, one thing we got to tell people, play-in is not the playoffs. Like, it's not the playoffs. Like, it's not like you're making a push for the playoffs. It's like, I just don't even know what the Kings' direction is. Like, what are they trying to do?
It's just another example of just a terrible-ass franchise. And, you know, another – give just more proof for my example of why we need to abolish the draft lottery. Like, because you have teams like this. Like you said, you
still want to, you don't like the lottery?
No, bro. This is my thing, bro. I wrote an article about this. I say, give everybody one ping pong ball and let the chips fall where they may. Because think about how many talented players have fucked up by going to bad situations where they just get to develop bad habits and they fall out of the league. Like, imagine if Mike Beasley would have went to a good team and not been in Miami with Mario Chalmers blowing loud all the time. Like, shit like that. Like,
okay, I agree. I agree with, as far as the lottery, I agree. Like, as far as, I do feel like it should be equal. Yeah. Everybody get one ping pong ball. Yeah. We see what happens.
Because
some people like, oh, it should just be free agency. I don't agree with that. No, I don't agree with that whatsoever.
That's a little too extreme. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think you could, you know, bring down free agency a little bit, but I think the NBA is more free, is free as far as compared to other leagues.
Yeah.
But no, I think the Kings, you trade a guy like Haliburton in his second year. Sabonis will be a free agent at next year. He's not staying. So
yeah, definitely not.
You talking definitely about not. You pushing your chips in to make the playoffs.
To probably lose to the Lakers.
I mean, first of all, you got to make the fucking play-in.
Yeah, me. That too. The league is like 3-4 behind. Right,
you're
now
2.5 games out of the play-in. I just looked at them. They 22-36. Who at 22-36 looks at their roster and say, "Yeah, we going all in." just silly, bro. Like,
oh shit. I mean, I'm with you, and that's why I was like confused. So it's like, what the fuck are they doing over there, man? Like, that's one. I do like what Boston did. I do like what Boston did. They brought in Daniel Tice. They got rid of Schroeder, but who's the other name, my man? They brought in. I keep forgetting this. Yeah, White. So that's really like they're on a little win streak right now. They're on like a 7-game win streak. They're playing great defense. And they're looking like, you know, a team that could maybe they're in the top six right now.
Eight straight.
Now, I still want to see them against a good team. They've been bum slaying, which is fine. You got to beat the teams who are in front of you. But I want to see them a little bit more against other teams before I really figure out, okay, did Boston finally figure it out now? But I do like those trades. But the trade of the weekend, basically the weekend, was a trade that everybody was trying to see. Like the two biggest storylines of the year since training camp has been Kyrie with the vaccine and what's going on with Ben Simmons. And then recently it became James Harden. James Harden was traded for, was this the third time in his career?
Yes.
Third time in his career. Second time in a calendar year to the Philadelphia 76ers for Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and was it like two first-rounders, if I'm not mistaken?
Two first-round picks.
So this is a trade to me that I won't say that there's a – quote-unquote clear winner, because I think both feel the need. Harden feels the need for Philly because now they got a score. They're not letting Embiid's MVP season, and I do feel like he's going to win the MVP. I think at this point it's Embiid's MVP to lose. This to me, like, you have to come get your championship. Like, this is the whole little process window for the fucking Sixers been going on, what, for like 7 years now?
Yeah.
So now it's like, should it get off the pot? They got damn close to 2019, only lost because of a miracle shot by Kawhi Leonard. This should have get off the pot. So I'm not mad at the move by Daryl Morey, and this trade probably would have cost it a little bit more in the offseason because they'd had to move guys to move cap around. It would have been a different type of situation because James would have been a free agent. So now you got James with Embiid for the next two seasons because James Harden did opt into his player option for next year. So he will not be on the market. He's opted into his player option. So now it's like, okay, so if it was that need, you didn't have to give up Thibault. You didn't have to give up Maxey, which is very, very important. Even though I think Seth is going to be a big loss, but Harden is going to make up for that offense that Seth Curry was giving you. But I don't know how it fits because I think the pick and roll between them is going to be dangerous. But James Harden – and I've become I'm not a James Harden hater like I used to be. I've appreciated him more lately, and I don't think the situation is his fault. And I'm finna get into that in a second, but I don't really know how he fits with Embiid, and I really don't even know what Tobias Harris brings to that team anymore now. So that's gonna be a question mark. But as far as the actual move, I'm not mad at it. You had to give up something. They were budging last minute. They didn't want to give up Thibault. So they threw in Seth and them picks. I'm not mad at that. Now for Brooklyn. Brooklyn kind of same thing. I think Brooklyn got a great haul back. I think the picks are good, and then I don't think they're going to keep them picks. They're probably going to trade that to get depth later on, probably in the offseason for the draft, definitely, which is going to be great. Andre Drummond has really kind of revived his career in Philadelphia. He's been a great backup for them. I think he's going to be either a great backup or starter for them, whichever way they plan on doing. Seth Curry is going to be awesome for that team. And Ben Simmons, I think in this situation, Ben can play up to his strengths. Now, here's the issue with this trade, and I got a Nets hot take. Everybody can sit up here and blame James Harden. For the first time ever, this is not James Harden's fault. I don't care what nobody said. The true villain in this story, we keep coming back to this nigga, is Kyrie Irving. If Kyrie takes the shot and he's playing full time, Harden's not upset. That is the basis of this situation. And on top of that, we read in the Athletic, he was mad about the nigga saging up rooms and shit. But that's probably just on top of the irritation of this, him being mad this nigga isn't playing. So even with Harden being out, what are you getting from Ben Simmons if Kyrie can only play half the games? Because you're not, then it's just going to be KD being a scorer again, because you're not going to, Ben can't score in the second option. That's why it didn't work in Philly. So I feel like if the mandate ever gets, you know, broken up and he's allowed to play, or Kyrie eventually succumbs to take the shot, which I don't see happening, unless one of them two things happen, I don't see how that trade helps the Nets this much this year. They're on an 11-game win streak. KD is supposed to come back after the All-Star break, but they don't even know 100% when. He said he's not going to rush himself. They're going to go on a 15-game losing streak before the All-Star break.
Yes,
I don't think – here's my hot take. I put this in a group chat. You agree with me slightly. The other guys, Pav and them, laughed at me. I don't think it's a hot take to say these niggas might miss the play-in. If you look at the schedule, we don't – and with Kyrie can't play 7 of the next 10 games, which is huge. They have no offense without Harden. We don't know when Ben's coming. And even when Ben does come, you don't know what Ben Simmons you're going to get. He ain't played basketball in almost a year. So you don't know. And it's not like this team's playing excellent before KD got hurt.
Exactly.
And that's nothing that nobody's talking about. Everybody just thinks KD's going to come in and is just going to flip the switch. They weren't playing great before he got hurt. So all that put together and with the way the East is built, I still would pick them probably to finish like in between 8 or 10. I don't think they're going to get in that top six because only like 20, 25, 26 more games up. I don't think it's a hot take they might miss. I think long term, this can help them. I just don't see how this fits.
Less than that.
So what do you think about the whole trade?
Yeah, no, I think Brooklyn won the trade, especially because you were able to reacquire some assets that you gave away when you got Harden as far as the two draft picks. You got to think about it. You really blew up a team that had depth, that had everything you needed for the sake of getting James Harden, because you could have kept Spencer Dinwiddie. You could have kept Caris LeVert. You could have kept Jared Allen. You know, they really would have been a force with that squad by itself. And so, you know, doing all that for James. But when you get back Seth, like that was big. Getting back Andre Drummond and then getting back the two first-round picks. Because now those picks, they give you flexibility. You can really make a move. So I think Brooklyn definitely won the trade. I think it's hard to say somebody lost a trade when you get somebody like James Harden. And, you know, you keep Thibault and you keep Maxey. But at the same time, I think giving up the two first-round picks.
I think that was a big blow.
I think that was a lot. Especially when you were talking all this, oh, I'm playing hardball bullshit. And you ended up giving, you know, trading Ben to a favorable situation. So.
In the same conference. I mean, in the same division, too. I think
in the same division.
Yeah.
But I know I think Brooklyn won the trade, and I think we'll see with Philly. Philly.
Yeah. Well, Harden's going to be out to All-Star break, so we will not see him in a Sixer uniform until after All-Star, so he's not going to play in the game. So they're going to probably – who he thinks replace him? I would probably give it to, like, Siakam or Jared Allen. I'll probably say Jared Allen.
I will hope. I think they should give it to Jared Allen, but we'll see.
Shout out to Jared Allen. Embiid sent that nigga to God this weekend. It was a very, very nasty dunk, man. But let's talk about two teams that didn't do anything at the trade deadline. A lot of people thought they would. First of all, let's talk about the team that I hate talking about the most. But the Rams are the Super Bowl champions, and the number one conversation in LA is still, what the fuck is up with the Lakers?
Yeah,
and the parade. I just want to say, LeBron, you a nasty nigga for trying to fit parade, bro.
You just took the words right out of my mouth. I said, LeBron James, you are in pure scumbag mode right now. You went from combining records to now you want to combine a parade. Come on.
And if I'm in the Rams, I'm like, nigga, fuck out of here. I don't want to share my parade with you and the Dodgers, nigga. Like, fuck out of here, nigga. This is our shit. Somebody tweeted, yes, I think it was ESPN, was like, three championships for LA and last time. I'm like, yeah, you got two Mickey Mouse champs in the Rams.
Right.
I'm sorry. You know I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, no, but,
a lot you know what I'm saying? And so it's like also them two championships are two seasons removed. The reigning champions are the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Braves. What are we doing here? Like, I know you want that parade, Bron, but you had three of them. You'll be all
right. That shit don't even sound right. The Atlanta
it Braves. Really don't. And imagine them throwing a parade in the middle of a season like this. Or after a season like this.
Bro.
It's jokes. But anyway, Bron and AD, there's rumors going on. Dave McMenamin from ESPN LA, he's saying that there's a little drama going on right now. The AD, those reports that came out that said Pelinka talked with AD and Bron and said that they were, you know, cool with them standing past the deadline. Yeah. That came out that was cap. That Bron and AD did not only not speak with them, Bron and AD are upset there were no moves made. Now, there was a, I think Woj said that there was a deal on the table for John Wall, for Russell Westbrook, but the Lakers didn't want to give up that 2027 draft pick. That's really the only fucking draft pick they have.
The one they got.
Because they had to get rid of all them shits to get the players that they have fucking right now. So my question to you is, do you understand them being upset? And where did the Lakers even go from here right now? I mean, they got lambasted by the Bucks this past week. They lost a terrible game to the Blazers, and then they fumbled that game against Golden State. It kind of feels like this is a broken team at this point. What do you feel about this?
This is what I like to call a reality check, my nigga. This is a reality check. LeBron is so used to every team just bending to his will, but this is really Rob Pelinka realizing, hey, I screwed up listening to y'all putting this roster together, and at the end of the day, I need my future draft assets. I cannot surrender any more draft. Like, every deal that the Lakers had on the table fell apart because they would not put that pick in it. So it's like, bro, if you LeBron, like, that should be the writing on the wall for you to, like, yo, they at the point where they not really, like, I'm sure they gonna listen to LeBron, but then they're not sacrificing major assets anymore. Like, yeah, and just letting him pick the roster. And I think this is the first time in his career that hasn't happened, and that probably won't happen.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I just don't feel like there was a trade. Like, I feel Rob Pelinka, because I'm with you, like you just said. Like, all right, fool me once. You know what I'm saying? I'm not doing this shit again. Like, I'm not listening to you on that effect. But I just don't feel like there's a trade out there that they think that they could have made that was going to change anything. Like, we sitting up here talking about John Wall. How many games did John Wall even play in the last fucking 3 years? Like,
yeah, I'm tired of that John Wall shit.
Yeah.
Don't show me no more tapes of him cooking his trainer or random NBA players that ain't played in 12 years. Like, stop. Like,
yeah, I don't want to see none of that.
I don't want to see none of that shit no more.
None of that shit, dog. So it's like that type of shit I understand, but it's like it just doesn't make any sense as far as why they're upset, because there's nothing to be done on that fucking, you know, on that scale. Like, they're to my Terrence Ross. What the fuck is Terrence Ross gonna do, bro? Like, this is the team. Like, you just gotta ride this shit out, bro. You gotta ride it out and hope something better can happen in the offseason, bro. That's all I got for them. And as far as what the Lakers, I still think the Lakers are going to finish. I don't think they're going to be in that top six. Remember, I still had a little hope for that.
Yeah.
They're cooked. I think that, were they like four behind Denver in the sixth spot?
I'll tell you in 2 seconds. They are 5.5 behind Denver.
Whoo, Jesus. So, yeah. Spot. And it's what, 25, 26 games left for them? At this point, you just got to get in the play-in. Hopefully, you beat one of them teams that I can't even see y'all better than. Y'all on the same level. Beat a team that ain't really got a superstar on their team. Okay. Pray that Paul George and or Kawhi don't come back. Because if they have to play the Clippers in the play-in, they're getting smoked.
Good night.
If one of them playing. So, and I'll be real. The Clippers might be able to beat them niggas in a one game without.
Yeah, no, that's facts, bro. The Lakers are bad. Like,
the Lakers are really, really bad, bro. And what we saw in that Milwaukee game, what we saw in that Warriors game, that's levels, bro. That's levels. Phoenix is is a completely different planet. Milwaukee on a completely different planet. Giannis was playing with these niggas. Like, it wasn't even – he didn't break a fucking sweat. Well, didn't he miss, like, one shot the entire game?
That was, like, three at the most.
Three at the most. So, it's like that type of thing is, like, they just screwed. They got to get through it. And then at the end of the offseason, you can find a team that wants to take – Russ is $47 million that can come off the books at the end of the year, because that is an expiring contract. And just, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Anthony Davis, man, we're in the, like, kind of like a new era of big man right now. And he has the talent to be in that conversation, and he's not. Like, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, these guys are dominating. He's not doing anything, bro. That was a pathetic performance on Sunday. Pathetic performance.
I mean, yeah, at this point, like, I don't expect much. I'm not going to say I don't expect much from Anthony Davis, because he is extremely talented, but all of the whole superstar. He's probably the lowest motor superstar I've ever seen.
Oh, for sure.
Like, because I remember, like, I saw him live, and this was when he was with New Orleans. And I looked up, and he had, like, 40. But it was, like, just... I was like, when the fuck did he score 40? Like, the Bucks beat their ass that game. But, yeah, and at this point, if you're the Lakers, G, how do you look at this squad going forward and say, yeah, we're going to build around Anthony Davis, Russ. They stuck with Russ' contract, so, like... Yeah. It's going to be difficult to move.
They might be able to, it's going to be difficult, but as we've seen in the NBA, there's no contract that's unmovable.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could have a chance to send him to a losing-ass team that will be like, okay, we'll take his $47 million, that'll be off our books.
At the OKC got, you know, 56 million picks.
You know, OKC got, they got a lot of picks, but it's like, what are they going to do? Like, nobody's coming to Oklahoma. Like, you got to really, really hit on them damn picks.
You let Russ go back and, you know, live out his what he should have been doing. stay there, averaging 25, losing in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a lot of options for this team, man. I know LeBron wish he didn't sign that extension. I know LeBron wish he was a free agent.
I mean, at this point, Bron is just waiting to fucking play with Bronny.
And I'm going to keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it on this podcast. That motherfucker's not making NBA. I'm sorry. He's nice around these little kids. When he get to college, we gonna see. Then we'll see if there's a legitimate shot of him making NBA. Because right now he might be on D Wade's son path when he in the G League, bro. Yeah.
Somebody was talking about them because you know they won on that last second three when they was in Chicago. Somebody was like, if you put them in the CPSG, they finish like six.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Niggas can. Starving? Oh, we'll get them niggas' hands.
Yeah.
All you niggas got AirPods, nigga. All y'all got team AirPods. These niggas don't know how they getting on the CTA. All they got is hoop. You know what I'm saying? But completely different ballgame. Let's go to our team, man. Now, I talked about this on third pick with Mariano. By the Bulls stand pat at the deadline, did not make any moves. Like I said on the pod, I wasn't surprised. I was a tad disappointed. Not that bad, but I feel like a lot of Bulls fans were doing too much, acting like the season's lost. Like, expectations, bro. I don't know what you're at. My expectations isn't that this team winning the championships. It's not like I feel like we blew a window to win the championship. What's your thoughts on the Bulls' whole trade deadline?
You really just hit the nail on the head right there. I think you had a lot of meathead fans, and I think that's where, you know, as you know, what we see on social media, we really got to dial it back, but more shit just read and scroll. Because people aren't looking at this shit objectively. They're looking at it like you said, super fans. Every year is to get a ring. And that ain't the case for most teams. Like, we know this year it was about proving the Zach that, we're serious about winning and we're going to do whatever it takes to win. And they've done that and they've overachieved as a result. Mm-hmm. And so that's cool, but we don't need to rush and make a move when you're still trying to, you know, keep your books open because you got other deals in mind going forward. So when they didn't see a deal that was going to help them in the future, I think that's when you could start looking at the buyout market. So,
yeah,
I was cool with it.
Yeah, I was just, man, I really hope that this buyout market opens up a little bit more because we still don't really know who's getting, cut, or released. Bought out, because really all we've heard is Dragic. Dragic. It's like we haven't really heard any big names. We think about Tristan Thompson. I don't know if Tristan's getting bought out anymore. I haven't heard anything. Yeah,
I really want that. Tristan, but like I agree with you. Now that you know, the idiot, let me stop calling this dude the idiot, but now that the owner of the Kings is, you know, saying he's going all in, you know, we're going to see about Tristan.
Well, Tristan's on the Pacers now. Remember, he was
Yeah, he got, oh, damn, he did get traded.
But he played with the Pacers this weekend. So I was just
yeah.
I was like, I don't know, because I hope he gets, bought out. But really, at this, the Bulls, I don't want to say they're playing with house money, but it's like AK said in his press conference, we believe in this crew, in this team. And it's kind of like what he did last year. Remember last year, everybody wanted everybody to get traded right away? And AK, this team had bad roster evaluation. We didn't know what we had in these players yet. So after the first half of the season went by, and it clicked in his head, okay, Wendell Carter Jr. stinks. All these other niggas stink. Now I'm going to get rid of them. We need to see what this team can be like when healthy before you make rational moves. And I think a lot of things, like, yes, Tony Bradley has been bad. Troy Brown has been bad. But, like, I think Billy said this. These guys are playing way more minutes than they're accustomed to playing. So there's more room for them to fuck up. It's different when you just got Troy Brown coming in for 7-8 minutes a game. Troy Brown out here playing 25-30.
Exactly.
Because it just hurt. So, yes, he's going to fuck up more. So that in that case is all about expectations. To me, at this point, they have exceeded expectations for me. I don't think there's any way this season can end outside of us not really having the opportunity to get everybody healthy. Well, I would feel like I'd be disappointed because there's not going to be a first. This is not like a old school where, oh, if you get a top two seed, the 7-8 seed is a cakewalk. No, nigga.
Right.
Every playoff series in 1-8 is going to be a battle. Because even the teams like the Bostons or like, you know, Charlotte, them ain't going to be no easy, we can sweep these niggas type series.
Yeah, shit, so, Brooklyn, shit.
Brooklyn, yeah, exactly. Brooklyn might be there as a team that you don't want to face because they had a bad offseason, bad regular season. So the Bulls to me is just like see what they can do and then reevaluate in the summer. And it's I had no plans of booking a flight to Chicago to be in Grant Park in June. If you did, watch more basketball.
Yeah, it's just silly meathead shit, but that's what you get a lot of times. So no, I feel you on that. Like. No, there's no reason to rush anything, so they'll be just fine.
And also, as far as Zach LaVine, we talk about Zach. He is flying to Los Angeles this week. He's going to be seeing a knee specialist. Now, of course, his knee, when he had his MRI a couple weeks ago, did not reveal any structural damage. But he's been dealing with a lot of knee soreness. He's missed the last game. He's supposed to miss the whole week. Now, he's still scheduled. He said he's once playing all-star game in 3-point contest. As a Bulls fan, I want him to sit his ass down. Fuck that all-star game. You got your acknowledgement. You're an all-star. That would never go nowhere. Fuck that 3-point contest. Sit out, bro. Because then that'll give him a full 2 weeks to heal that knee up. I'm not really too worried about it. Reevaluation to me is just knee soreness, and he probably wants to see what's going on. I think even Joe Cowley said that he's not. There's no worries about it being serious, but he just wants to know where the knee soreness is coming from. I just want him to relax, take this off, and then we can come back together and hopefully get a last, 15 games as a full squad. Now, Jerry Jones Jr. came back early this week. He went out there, gave us some energy. Looks like Patrick Williams. I think Pat's going to be back probably like a week or two after All-Star break, the way it's looking. Like, he damn near dunked in pregame the other week. And I also think that's another reason why AK didn't make any trades, knowing what they got there. Are you worried about Zach as far as, long-term for the rest of the season?
I'm worried about him if he continues to try to push through it. Okay. I think it's one of those situations where it's like, I understand you want to keep helping the team and all of that, but you might need to just sit down for like a solid 2-3 weeks, maybe 4, for the sake of the playoff push. And like I said, we've gotten fortunate with a lot of other teams losing right now, like you said. When you look at, the Heat, they didn't want 5 straight. The Bulls didn't want 3 in a row. But when you look at the rest of the East, a lot of teams, they've all been playing around the same. So it's not a lot of pressure right now. So
definitely. I definitely agree with that, man. I'm not too worried about him. I do hope he needs to just sit down. We can't afford him for a month, but at least just sit down these last few weeks.
I take that back. Yeah, I mean, I was tripping. 4 weeks is excessive at this point in the season.
We cannot afford that.
The 2 week break,
Yeah, the last game he played was on Friday? What was the last game? It was Thursday?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, so by the time he gets back, so the last game he played was last Wednesday. No, last Friday against Minnesota. So the next game we play is on the 24th after the All-Star break. We'll be against Atlanta. He comes back then. That's 13 days off. So it's basically 2 weeks off. If he doesn't do the All-Star. So that's what I'm hoping he does. Just, I know Zach wants to play through this shit because he's tough, but nigga, playoffs and not only playoffs, your contract. This is a contract year for you.
Yeah.
Be careful, bro. Be careful.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we love you, how you want to be there for your team. That's cool, but bro,
it's admirable.
We need it. Like, no, we need you safe and sound, nigga.
Now, let's get to a team that can win a championship this year. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns right now have the best record in basketball, 46-10. They are on a 5-game win streak, and they are 9-1 in their last 10. They just had a dominant win over the Bucks in a NBA Finals rematch. So my question for you is, at this point, what do you think will be their biggest weakness?
Health, nigga. That's the only thing that can stop them right now. Like, that's really how I feel. I will say, until they get to the Milwaukee Bucks, but health is going to be a primary issue. Like, well, that can be the only issue. Because they've been doing a lot of this beating people ass without DeAndre Ayton.
Yep.
And so when he comes back, you know, and is fully back in the room. So I'm not sure if he is back, but
no, he back. He came back a couple games ago.
Well, he's now that he's back, fully in there. It's gonna get ugly, bro. I really think, like you said, unless Chris Paul gets another, like I said, unless Chris Paul gets another one of those freak injuries, it's gonna be tough for anybody to beat Phoenix.
Yeah, now that was my weakness too. It was Chris Paul's injury, because you know Chris Paul gets them injuries at the worst possible.
It'd be the goofiest shit. Yeah. He running into somebody, sprained shoulder. Like, what the fuck? Like, what
and then I just be like, what kind of nigga you? What did you do to have such bad timing? Like, it just don't make no sense. Like, they finally get the conference finals. But oh, remember, then he got injured. He got hurt in the Lakers series, too.
Yeah, the Lakers series, when Phoenix was about to beat Golden State, he got hurt. What Damian say? Because he was punching people in the dick when he was at Wake Forest.
Right. And that's what he got in return. Everybody wants to know what will happen in that game 7 if CP3 played. So, and that will probably definitely be the number one. I still think that when Draymond gets back, we're going to get one of the best Western Conference Finals we ever got. And I think at the end of the day, and I think Chuck said this, the reason he's taking the Warriors over the Suns, everything else cancels itself out. Is which backcourt is going to be more consistent? Is it going to be CP3 and Booker, or is it going to be the Splash Brothers? And as we saw on Saturday, it looked like Klay is getting back. Klay looked like Klay against the Lakers.
It is getting ugly. Because if Klay turned into Klay, they're going to be kicking people's ass.
Yeah.
And one thing, he come back, he's been more aggressive off the dribble.
Yep.
That's one thing I've really noticed. Like, he's been going to the rack aggressively.
And he's been having to, because Draymond, and you know, they're expecting Draymond. Some people think that Draymond will be back mid-March. Still got to see, you know, anything that's dealing with back and disc is something to be careful with, man. But besides that, I don't really think the Suns have any weaknesses. So it's definitely going to be interesting to watch them over these next couple weeks. It's time to wrap this episode up with our power rankings, man. You want to go first or you want me to go?
I'll go first.
All right, go ahead.
Fifth, I got the Boston Celtics. They've moved into the sixth seed. They 9-1, won 8 in a row. Fourth, I got the Miami Heat. They 7-3 in their last 10. They won 5 in a row. Like you said, getting healthy at the right time. My third team is the Memphis Grizzlies. They still rolling. They are 40-18. They won 8 out of their last 10. Won 5 in a row. Second, I got Golden State. I know they had a win streak snapped a couple days ago, but they still won 8 out of their last 10. And then number one, I got the Phoenix Suns. G, they 9-1. 5 straight. Really just on the road, cruising.
Yeah, I'm not mad at those. I got a couple of teams in there like that. I had to say with number five, I had to give it to the Philadelphia 76ers. I really like how Embiid's been carrying that team. You know, the fifth seed right now, let's see, they are on a 2-game win streak, but they're 7-3 in their last 10. And I just love everything Embiid's been doing over there. And I think once Harden gets in that lineup, at least regular season-wise, they should be able to run this up and get a little higher up in that bracket. For number four, I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, granted, they did get a little ass-kicking in Phoenix, but they've been pretty good. They've been 7-3 in their last 10, had a huge win over Lakers. And we really just see, like, how dangerous this team can be when healthy. I saw what they did to the Clippers last week too, and it was nasty business. And see, Giannis is a massive dude. Like in person, dude is huge.
Bro, when my homie Justin used to work for the Bucks, so I used to watch Giannis all the time. But when I first realized, I was like, okay, this nigga is different. He caught the ball in the corner and did a Euro step and dunked that bitch. Like, like legit, like caught the ball two steps, whoop, whoop. Bang, and I'm like, okay,
different kind of dude.
This is crazy.
Different kind. It was funny because one thing that's funny about covering Clippers games is when there's a big star, nobody's ever in the Clippers layup line. Like, you know what I'm saying? I went to the Clipper layup line just to get like pictures and video of Norman Powell and Rocco, just you know, to get on there and you know, still get the Clippers access because I cover the team. But nigga, I was posted watching Giannis, like.
Yeah,
dude's just incredible. He's just incredible to watch, man. Number three, I'm gonna go with the Miami Heat. Really love with Jimbo and Kyle Lowry doing over there. They're on a 5-game win streak. They're also 7-3 in their last 10. And for them to be number one in their conference with as many injuries as they dealt with this year, I think is pretty good. And that's a team that, you know, I don't think they'll win the East, but that's a team that you don't want to play. They play, like I said, they play old school Pat Riley ball. If you're going into Miami, you're finna get your ass beat. You know what I'm saying? There's going to be none of that finesse type shit. So that's definitely good for them. Number two, I'm going with Golden State. And they've been playing kind of smelly the last couple games, but Golden State to me is just coasting to the point where it's like, we really don't care about the regular season, but they're still playing well. And just the flashes we've been seeing from Klay is making me believe in this team even more than I already had prior. And so they're right now, they're 8-2 in their last 10. So that's pretty dominant. The only team that's been better in that stretch is Phoenix. And Phoenix is my number one team. They're 9-1 in their last 10. They're on a 5-game win streak. They're just pretty much unstoppable, man. So that's who I got for my weekly power rankings, man. As we wrap this up, are you excited for the All-Star weekend this week?
No.
And why is that?
I mean, the jerseys are weak. The shit is in Cleveland. I think, of course, you'll have a couple good highlights. But for the most part, I think the All-Star game, it really ain't the same. Like, I know the first year they brought the new Kobe rules in. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of hot. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I always watch All-Star Weekend. It's kind of diluted. It's not as fun as it used to be when we were kids. There's going to be a lot of people who are not playing. KD's not playing. Harden's not playing. It's probably 50-50 on if Zach LaVine is going to play. And then Shams just announced that Jared Allen will be taking James Harden's place on the Eastern Conference All-Star team. And then also, the new rules are cool, but I think the KD team going to get dominated. I think Bron had a really, really good draft last weekend. Shout out to NBA on TNT. That was last week's Inside, top five Inside ever. LeBron, an asshole. You ain't done trading today?
He said he healthy?
Bruh, so that shit was funny. So I'll be watching, but it's like, the next, three All-Stars are in cities that I do not want to go. I like it. My uncle's from Cleveland. Cleveland's not a city for me. Next year's the Salt Lake City. As a black person, why I want to be in fucking Utah? And then, after that, it's Indianapolis.
That's legit the worst place I've ever been in my fucking life.
What, Salt Lake?
Salt Lake City, Utah. And I've been to, like, London. I've been to, like, all type of rent. I've been to Asheville, North Carolina. Well, nigga, Salt Lake City is the worst place I've ever been in my fucking life. Without question.
Well, that says a lot. The worst place I've ever been in my life is either Milwaukee or fucking Birmingham, Alabama.
Boy, Milwaukee, like New York, is New York City compared to Salt Lake.
Milwaukee, like New York compared to Birmingham, but shit. It's just something about Milwaukee. It's something about the Midwest outside of Chicago that I just don't bang with. Like, I'm straight.
Yeah.
Chicago should be in the East Coast, just off how much of a great city it is.
Off GP, yeah, it really should be.
Off GP, man. That's all we got for y'all, man. Next week is also, so we won't have a pod next week because, you know, there's no basketball. They got to, like, probably like the end of the week, so we back after that. So we'll hold y'all down on that. You know, to follow us on Twitter at BarberChairScott, at October's on Tay. Follow the Barbershed Network at Barbershed Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershed Network. Of course, if you want to see video, we're going to have video on the next pod. Subscribe to the $10 package, man. You'll be getting that. And we're going to have a video for all our podcasts, man. And we got a special $5.79 and Hollis package coming up. So check that out. And we out, man. We'll holler at y'all. NBA the only game in town. Fuck Rob Manfred. We out.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.